Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Now, after Tuesday, I had a fairly easy week. Didn't really do anything till Friday, and then we got out with family Friday and went to Kimswick, Missouri, and they put in a real nice, I hadn't been there in a few years, but they put in a real nice river access area. I see that they put in a boat ramp, but then they've got it blocked off. Oh, casinos? I'll tell you what. We've had us in the past, a county executive that swore that there would never be riverboat gambling in Jefferson County as long as he was county executive, and as long as he was, there wasn't. And I don't know who the county executive is now, and I don't know where they stand on it, but we do not want casino gambling, riverboat gambling in Jefferson County. I don't want it. We don't need it. It's a swindle is what it is. They keep promising. What did they promise us on the lottery? When they voted the lottery in years ago, that it would just fund all the schools and all the schools would be funded and our taxes would go down and everything would be great. That didn't happen. So then when they voted in the casinos on the river, they made the same promise. All of our taxes are going to go down, Sterling, and it's going to help our schools and all this stuff. That didn't happen. Huh? Well, sure it has. And then those casinos started demanding more and more and more as far as their operation and what the law would allow them to do and so on. And now you have people all over the state who have gambling addictions. And I mean serious gambling addictions. And anytime you have people who need to borrow money to gamble with, who do they borrow it from? Not the banks. Not the banks. And I just don't want that stuff in our county. It ain't right. We got enough problems in Jefferson County. We don't need gambling on top of it. So I guess that's what it is then. It looked real nice. I found it, and we all went to the river and took pictures, my mom. If you ever wonder what's wrong with me, it's her. We're taking pictures of, by the river, and a barge comes floating down the stream, and so my mom's got to go like that, and sure enough, honk. Yeah, bless her heart. All right, Revelation chapter 9. Let's start from the beginning and read down. Get the general context of it and just sort of understand as we go. The fifth angel sounded. This is the trumpets that are being sounded. This is the fifth one. And it does follow the meaning of the number five through the scriptures. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Stars are angels, evil angels and good angels. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the... I've already addressed that. I was going to ask you this morning. In fact, I'm asking you now, probably bringing it up again. But I still have not seen what some preachers preach, how that when Jesus died, he took from Satan the keys of death and hell. Have you ever heard that? You've heard that? I've heard it. I'd not seen it, not read it in Scripture. That doesn't mean that I know everything that's in the Bible, but I just haven't seen that. According to what I see here, I would say that Christ has the key and He voluntarily gives it to Satan at this time. And I do believe that Satan, it could be a different star. I don't know. A different angel. But it looks to me like it is Satan, Lucifer. I just don't see. I know that the Bible says the devil has the power of death. We know that. But as far as having the keys to hell or the gates of hell or the key to the bottomless pit, it doesn't make sense to me that if Satan had it at Christ's crucifixion and Christ went to the lower parts of the earth, I do believe that, the Bible says that very clearly, that he would get the keys from Satan and then give them back to him at this point here. It just doesn't make sense. But, like I said, I don't know everything. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and this is, again, these are not ordinary yard locusts or garden locusts, your garden variety locusts. These are not African locusts or anything like that. These are spirit creatures. They are devils. And they have basically been made for this purpose. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. There it is. As the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. So here we have God commanding. And I have dealt with in several times past this idea that God doesn't have any power until you release it with your faith. That's a bunch of baloney. God always has power, whether you believe it or not. It does not need to be released to God by your faith. When God is ready to do something, He does it. He doesn't need our permission, our amens. He doesn't need a nickel and a quarter to get it started. He doesn't need anything like that. Right here we have this horrible horde of these ugly, nasty creatures coming up out of the bottomless pit. And yet God commands them that they can't eat the grass of the earth. They can't eat the leaves off the trees. They can't hurt the people who have the seal of God in their forehead. They can't do anything like that. And so it's not us who release God to do those things. It's God saying, this is what I'm going to do. And when you get in the will of God and you get on God's side, you won't have a problem with what God does. Amen? Let's see here. Verse 4 is commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And I was thinking about this. I mentioned that Tuesday was a really, really rough day. Day after surgery, and they fill this area with I guess oxygen or some kind of gas so they can see in there, and they put their tools in there and take whatever out, and that gas remains in there, and it hurt worse than whatever it is they cut on me in there. It hurt worse than that. And I mean, I was in serious pain Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, into Tuesday night. I could not get comfortable. And I mean, it was almost as bad. You know, when they say rate your pain on a scale of 1 to 10, some people exaggerate. Oh, I'm a 10 right now. If you're a 10, you ain't standing up. Okay? But think of the most excruciating pain that you personally have ever been in. And then imagine that going on, not just a day, not just a week, 5 months. The most horrific pain that you can possibly imagine happening to you for 5 months. And there's nobody in the world that's going to give you aid or help. Why? Because they're in pain as well for 5 months. And it's pain that is so bad that they would rather die than endure that. But they can't. There's just something about this where they will not die for 5 months. And when I think about where I'm going with this, I put this up on the screen last Sunday morning. And this week, you know, I've had a little time to catch up on some things that I wanted to study and so on. And I probably watched half a dozen videos of parents going to their local school board meeting. And they would get recognized to speak for 5 minutes or whatever by the school board. And these parents would stand up and they would say, "Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'd like to take this opportunity to read to you a portion of a book that my son or my daughter brought home that was recommended to them by the school library. And it's in the school library and it's easy access to the children." And then they would start reading this book to the school board. Generally, the book would be a very explicit description of what two women do together, or what two men do together, or what two women and a man does together. And I'm talking about elementary, middle school level. And in one meeting, guy started reading from the book. The school board, somebody from the school board said, "Sir, I'm going to cut you off there. That's very inappropriate for you to read in this." Yeah. And you know what his answer was? "If I can't read it here, what makes you think that my daughter needs to read that in the school library or in the school classroom or in my house when she got it from the local school, when she got it from you guys?" It is pushed, promoted. There was one, man, I don't know how to say this. I'm going to have to dance around what was said. But a man confronted one of the school board members who apparently, I don't know if she was a teacher there or something, but she was teaching a class. And in that class, describing to those students what two women do together in explicit language. And this dad is fuming over this. And what's happening, and I'm glad to see it, but people are starting to stand up and say, "You're not teaching this to our kids. You're not going to do this. This is wrong. You talk about inclusion and you talk about how everybody matters. Well, what about," and one guy said, "you know, I'm not a church goer, but a lot of these people call themselves Christians. What about these Christian families trying to raise their children in a Christian manner? Do they matter? Does their beliefs matter? Does the way their children, does that matter to you guys?" Obviously not, when you're trying to push this agenda down their throats. That's the spirit in charge or in control of not only this country,
but all over the world.
And understand now the wrath and the vengeance of God. When God says
He's going to pay back, He's going to pay back.
And go back to now to what I said. Think of the most excruciating
pain that you personally
have ever experienced.
If I had to
relive last Tuesday,
just what I experienced
Tuesday,
if I had to relive that
for
5 months with no relief, I would
shoot myself
in the head.
There's no doubt
about it. You can only take that
for so long. But these people here, they're not given the choice
of getting any relief. There's
no help for them. There's no comfort for them.
There's
no option for them.
This
key is given. The
star opens up the
pit. These locusts come out. And this is what they do to every human being on planet Earth for 5 months. And this is God saying, I told you not to live this way. I gave you time to repent. I sent my only begotten
Son to die
for your sins, to offer you a free pardon for eternity for all of your transgressions. I offered you
a way out of this, and you didn't take it.
Well, so now think of, here we have clearly now, in this passage, it says in verse 4, that neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So we have two groups of people here on the earth. We have those who have the seal of God in their foreheads, and those who do not have the seal of God. And the people who do have the seal of God, are they tormented 5 months? Nope. Are they fine? Yes. Are they experiencing any pain? No. And that you have basically what you had in the land of Goshen. You had the Israelites being blessed, and you had the Egyptians being cursed. And like a line drawn, clearly there's night over here and there's day over here. And all of those who are the Egyptians, who are not in the land of Goshen, they have to suffer. They're under torment. They're swatting flies. They're losing their cattle. They have nothing to drink for days and weeks on end. All the water's been turned to blood. I mean, everything is going bad. And then they wake up one morning and the firstborn member of their house, every one of their houses, is dead. And the Bible says there was a great lament all through the land of Egypt. But you have God's people victorious. Now, we're living in a world right now where we're losing. Right? We're losing churches. We're losing whole denominations. We're losing people out of churches, even though they might still attend church. They don't believe the faith once held. They don't seek out the old paths. They don't follow the Word of God. They follow after lasciviousness. They follow after their own lust. Anytime some joker preacher promises them that they're going to get health and that they're going to get money, that's what they'll follow. And they'll follow it every time. And then we have this lost generation of Americans, and what gets me is that in these little video clips I watched, primarily it wasn't local pastors standing up against the school board. It was lost parents who had more sense and less fear or whatever, to stand up and stand against what was going on. And my question is, how come that school board meeting is not full of Baptists, Pentecostals, whoever? How come that place is not full of Christians who are standing up against it. But that's the way it is. So we're losing right now, and we're going to continue to lose. And I don't think whoever gets to be the next president is going to change any of that. Snowball has rolled too far down the mountain, and it's gotten too big to stop. And I've said this years ago, where does the LGBTQ plus agenda, where does it stop? In other words, when are they going to stop doing what they're doing? When this whole country is laying in ashes and dust. That's when they'll stop. And so what you're looking at basically is, in this situation here, you're looking at God saying to everybody on the earth, you should have followed Jesus. You should have believed the gospel. That's what 2 Thessalonians says. Turn there. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 10. With all the man of sin is revealed, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And there does come a time, people, when God says, I've had enough, I'm going to judge. We read in Revelation 6 how that when the fifth seal was opened, you have the souls of them under the altar slain for the word of God, and they're saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? And at times I've asked that question. At times I've had other people ask me that question. You know, Pastor Mike, how is God allowing this to go on? How is God allowing it to get as bad? And my answer to them is, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get much worse. It's not going to get better. And but just as God dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah, just as God has dealt with every other nation that turned against Him and every other people and every other individual, just as God has dealt with them, God will deal with the wickedness of this world. The Psalms say, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Yes? Second Thessalonians 3. 3:3. There you go. Sounds like she's prophesying. Amen. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Patient waiting for Christ. That's it, right? That's the key. He ain't going to come when you want Him to. He ain't going to come when you think He's going to come, but He's coming. And He tells us not to fret ourselves. So in verse 7 now, back at chapter Revelation 9, the description of the locusts, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Now, anytime you see a crown in the Bible, it means that they're being given dominion. A crown is always dominion. A crown goes on what? The head. The head is always the ruler. Okay? We even use that term now. Who's the head? You know, who's the head of the household? Who's the head of the company? So on and so on. We use it in that sense. So anytime you see something with a crown, the beast has seven heads and ten horns and ten crowns. So those ten horns represent authority. It represents the right to rule. If you watched any of the coronation, I've only watched little pieces of it, but they literally, England is one of the few countries in the world that still retains their old traditional coronation ceremony. And I mean, it goes back probably 600-700 years or even beyond that. And a literal crown is placed upon the head of the reigning monarch of England. And that crown means that he has the right to rule. So they have crowns on their head like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had the hair as the hair of women. And that's what I have up on the screen. And we touched on this, just barely touched on this last Sunday, and I've already lost most of my time today to deal with it again. But the bottom line is, you're looking at a spirit. Why is it that this is so prominent now? Why is it that we can expect, and I hate to say this, but we can expect to see in our families more and more of our younger generation being turned over to homosexuality, sodomy, lesbianism, or worse? We can expect to see that. That's how prominent now it has become. It has invaded literally every area of our society. It's in government. It's in our schools, both public and private. It is in churches. It is in homes. It is in families. It is literally everywhere. The perversion of the marital act and the perversion of what God says, this is a man, God says, this is a woman, and the perversion of that, this is all spiritual. There are spirits that are pushing this, promoting this, guiding, leading people into it. And I see this as the spirit of Antichrist. Throughout history, there have been gods that when you really research them, you find out that they are what's called androgynous gods. Andro means male, gynous means female, or wife actually is what it means. But they are gods that are both male and female. You mentioned last Sunday the two-spirited people of the First Nations or the Native Americans. And they regarded them as a good omen. They believed that their ancestors would, two ancestors would be in somebody and be both male and female, or they would be a man who had the traits of a woman, or a woman who had the traits of a man, and so on. This is the god Shiva. Shiva is the destroyer. That word destroyer in Hebrew is Abaddon. In Greek, it's Apollyon. So who is Shiva? King of the bottomless pit. And Shiva was a male-female god. In alchemy, the ancient practice of trying to transmute lead into gold is not really what it was about. It was about turning mortals into immortals so that people would live forever. It was always the idea the perfect man or the perfect human would be both male and female at the same time. Janus, the god that represents the month January. Janus is always seen as having two faces. How many of you know somebody like that? He's a two-faced. One looking this way, one looking that way. Well, in some depictions of the god Janus, the one looking this way is a male, the one looking this way is a female. There with the leaves on his head, holding the wine glass, is the god Bacchus or Dionysus. He's the god of wine, the god of revelry, the god of feastings and parties and things like that. And he is an androgynous god. He is both male and female. And you can just tell by the way he was characterized in this particular painting. I mean, he looks like a ladyboy, is what he looks like. And this goes back to Deuteronomy 22. Not yet. The woman, now this is called a commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is not hate speech. This is God saying this. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a neither shall a man put on a woman's garment.
Amen. And I have seen preachers
who,
during the church service, they're going to have some kind of fun on the stage, and the preacher will come out in drag and think nothing of it. And if anybody says anything, they say, "Oh, we're just having a little fun. There's nothing wrong with that."
You don't really think our pastor's gay, do you?
It doesn't matter. God didn't say, "I don't want any gay man doing this." He said, "I don't want to see a man in a woman's clothes."
Period. The end. For all that do so are
an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now,
it's all
your choice. Deuteronomy verse 9.
He also said, "Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds." You don't
take your carrot seeds and your
cucumber
seeds and your okra seeds and all the other seeds in your garden, put them in a bucket and mix them all together real good
and just sling them out there, do you?
It's a different way. You have to tend to those things. Different way. And God says, "You shall not
sow your vineyard with diverse seeds. Lest
the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard
be defiled. Thou shalt not
plow with an ox and an ass together.
Thou shalt
not wear a garment of diverse sorts. There's a woolen and linen together. Woolen is animal, linen is
the
vegetable." God said, "Don't mix them together." And what he's doing is, it's all in the 10th chapter. He is establishing an order for his people.
If it's this, then it's going to stay this. If it's that, then it's going to stay that. And we're not going to change it. We're not going to mix it up. We're not going to rearrange it. We're going to keep it exactly the way that God intended. So when my son Matthew was, he was going to Hillsboro at the time, and he finally just couldn't take it anymore, and he quit. And we've homeschooled him to graduation, but he was going to Hillsboro at that time that boy, whose name was Noah, decided he would start wearing skirts to school and wigs. And then he decided, and I believe he was put up to this. He was told to do this by the LGBTQ crowd, because when they had his little get-together in Hillsboro, most of those people, most of the adults that had come down were from St. Louis. And he started going into the girls' bathroom. He started going into the girls' locker room. And the school just had their hands tied and they said, "We can't do anything about it." And the students walked out of the school in protest against the school establishment because the students said, "We don't want this guy in the girls' bathroom." None of those girls in that school wanted him walking into their bathroom. And none of those guys wanted anything to do with that kid. And they walked out in protest to what was going on. They said, "We're not going back in. This is how you're going to be. This is what we're going to do." And I'm not big on rebellion, but I'll tell you what, at some point you just got to stand and say, "I've had enough." Amen? But you see now where God clearly draws a line and says, "This is a male, this is a female, and we don't mix them up. We don't rearrange them. We don't make two into one or whatever." And it's gotten so bad now, I got to quit, but it's gotten so bad now, you understand this, that gender has become so fluid that a person literally can change his mind from one minute to the next what gender they want to be. This, which is why you cannot call them he or she. Even if it's a guy, and you know it's a guy and he's got women's clothes on, you can't even say she to her. You have to say they, because they may decide 10 minutes later that they're a male again. And I'm not even going to get into these poor softball girls And these volleyball, girls volleyball teams, and these girls track and field teams, who a guy will put on little ribbons in his hair and say, I'm a girl, and beat every one of these girls and win trophies and medals. And all the adults are going like this, and all the girls are going, this ain't fair. This ain't right. Yeah. Father, we live in a nasty, wicked, evil world. This is the world that You've given us to live in. Lord Jesus, come quickly. But Lord, help us to have patience. Help us to understand that all of this is actually going along with what You have planned for the end of this world and the beginning of the next. Lord, what You're doing is that You're allowing sin to become so obvious and so wicked and so blatant that there's not any question in any decent person's mind whether something is right or something is wrong. Father, You're making it blatantly obvious to us in these days that these things are wrong. Help us, Father, to always be on the side of right, be on the side of what Your Word says is true. We ask Your blessings on it in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen.